Well, hello, Facebook. We're doing things a little bit out of schedule today. I'll explain to you why in just a second. Oh, that's really showing. That's not doing what I want it to do. It's not looking very good, is it? How about if I do this? Will that help? That's a little bit better. So, hello. Normally, we household of faith in Christ would be getting together on Saturday evening at 6 o'clock. But I officiated a wedding today, and my daughter and son-in-law are visiting in town today, and we have a friend here in the house today, and so there's a lot of stuff going on, so we're doing things out of order. I wasn't even sure if we'd be back in time for 6 o'clock. As it turns out, we are, but we've got all these other activities going on. So here's what I'm doing. I had the privilege and the honor of officiating a wedding today between Dan and Sarah, now Teagarden, Mr. and Mrs., and they didn't have a videographer or anything like that, and so I want to be able to have something memorialized for them to revisit down the road if they want, to remember some of the things that were talked about and some of the things that we did during their officiant ceremony today. And so this is for you guys, Dan and Sarah, and anybody else who wants to watch along. And this video is going to be in lieu of what we typically would do on a Saturday evening at 6 o'clock, okay? So this will stay up there. So if you end up joining us at 6 o'clock and see this video, this is serving that purpose this week. So we began with me thanking everybody for coming and saying what great joy and anticipation brings us all together, and that we all know Dan and Sarah well, and they prepared, and they did. They put a lot of hard work into preparing for the moment, not just for the celebration, but for spending the rest of their life together as they were coming together to make solemn and public wedding vows, binding them together in holy matrimony. And then I talked about the picture that the wedding serves of Christ and his church, that Dan, as the groom, standing as Christ, beckoning his bride to come to him, and his bride, resplendent and white and brilliant and beautiful. That's how Christ sees his church, answers the call, and comes towards him. And so also we have in Scripture this understanding of a covenant-making God, a God who makes a covenant with his people and recasts that covenant over again, and heightens the excitement, anticipation, and builds upon the previous iterations of that covenant. So God made a covenant with Noah and Moses and Abraham and King David, and of course ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ with the new covenant, which is a recasting and a permanence of the old covenant. So we kind of talked about that, mentioned that because there was a recasting of the covenant-making vows in the wedding ceremony. I wanted people who were there to understand what we were doing and why we're doing and how it pictures Christ and his church. And so we began with a prayer that said something along these lines. It said, "Our dear Heavenly Father, it's been said by some that marriage can be the closest thing on earth to both heaven and hell. And so we reach out to you, our Creator and Savior, through Jesus Christ, asking that your Holy Spirit teach us to serve, submit, and sacrificially love. Help us better to model the example of the Son of God by being unselfish, without pride, without cynicism." And Dan and Sarah have recently undertaken an extended period of deep study and reflection and counsel. Help them, God, both to recall consistently the foundations of solid marriage, which include, among other things, submission and honesty, communication, forgiveness, and teamwork. And the prayer continued that they have learned from God's word that it is in serving and putting love into action that both freedom and joy can be found, and that maintaining these blessings can often require a high price to be paid. And so we put before the Lord, Dan and Sarah, that they would recognize that the marriage that they entered into today will be held up in high value day by day. And we ask that God will help them to remain devoted with passion for God's truth before God's throne of grace and before the watching eyes of Dan and Sarah's neighbors. And then we ask that our Lord would strengthen them, that his strength would be their strength, that he would empower them to daily lay down their lives and serve the Messiah, God's Son, who went to the cross and demonstrated his love for his people, and who sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within those who follow after Christ. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we came together in prayer, recognizing that the marriage ceremony helps us to recall the priority of yielding to God the Father, and that the right and proper foundation for marriage is Jesus Christ. And then everybody was invited to be seated. And then we had the presentation of the bride, where I said, today we witness love. We see the birth of a new family bound by love and the responsibility for the protection and provision of this beautiful young woman falling from the man standing next to me, falling to him from another man. And so I asked, who is it that gives this woman to be married to this man? And then Sarah's father, of course, said, I do. And then we had a Christian, it's normal in a Christian wedding to have a scripture reading. And so there was, my wife Dina read from scripture. She read Song of Songs, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. And upon that, I then gave them their charge. And I said then, and I'll say now, it's really a special privilege. I've had opportunity to officiate, you know, before, but what a special and rare privilege it is to counsel someone leading into their marriage covenant vows, and then to participate in the ceremony itself. So I then gave them their charge, which was Hebrews 14:4 says, marriage is to be honored by all. Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, it says, live joyfully with the wife with whom you live all the days of your life. In Proverbs, it says, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice with the wife of your youth. May you ever be captivated by her love. And later in Proverbs, it says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. And so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And in Genesis, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helpmeet suitable for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united, cleave to his wife, and they will become one flesh. And then I turned to Dan and Sarah and said, I charge you, Dan and Sarah, today to put aside all others, to circumcise your hearts to Christ and to one another. And I charge you to leave your parents and to cleave to one another. And I charge you to be with each other starting today, to serve one another, submit to one another. And I charge you to live joyfully with one another, to trust one another, and to do good to one another all the days of your life. And I charge you to seek first the kingdom of God, that God would add to you all those things that are his good pleasure to give you as a new family. And then I turned and I said to Dan, I would ask you two questions. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? If so, answer, I have. And he did. And I said, is it your commitment to take this woman to be your wife? To live together in the holy covenant of marriage, to love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others to be faithful to her so long as you both shall live? If so, answer, I will. And he did. And then I said, Sarah, I would ask you two questions. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? If so, answer, I have. And she did. Is it your commitment to take this man to be your husband, to live together in the holy covenant of marriage, to love him, comfort him, honor and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, be faithful to him so long as you both shall live? If so, answer, I will. And she did. And then I turned to the people who were gathered around and said, it's important today that we be witness to the sacred joy of taking marriage vows. It is our duty and privilege, each one, to encourage and support Dan and Sarah in their marriage. They take their vows before God and us. And so will all of you, family and friends, witnessing these promises today, do all in your power to uphold these two people in their marriage. And if so, please answer, I will. And then they did. And then I turned and said to Dan, do you, Dan, take Sarah to be your wife? And before God and these witnesses, do you promise to love, honor, and cherish her, and to be a faithful and true husband? And he said, I do. And then I said, do you, Sarah, take Dan to be your husband? And before God and these witnesses, do you promise to love, honor, and respect him, and to be a faithful and true wife? And she said, I do. And then the message was something like, from before creation, God had an idea. He created man and woman to have a love relationship with himself and with others. But there's a pretty big obstacle to this, and that obstacle is that we sin. And God, he is flawless creator, but we are flawed creatures. He is immensely powerful, but we are limited in power. He is all-knowing and ever-present, but we are finite. And so given these differences, how can we possibly understand God's profound love for us? What can serve as a relevant illustration to help us? What can help us to love someone who is different, so significantly different in so many ways from ourselves? And well, God has an answer for this. That answer is marriage. In marriage, we have two genetically and psychologically and physically different people, and loving one another is not easy. In marriage, we have different personalities, different gifts, different tendencies, different styles. One is an extrovert, one is an introvert, one is talkative, one is quiet, one likes being the center of attention, and one is uncomfortable standing in the spotlight. And there is constant opportunity for struggle in living married lives together. And one of the biggest struggles often revolves around the questions of love and respect. And men, they need to be loved, that's for sure, but they also need respect. And women need respect, that's for sure, but they also need to know that they are cherished and loved. And in the intensity of everyday life, I turned to Dan, I said, you know, Dan, you're going to find that there are times when work or hobbies or other interests, they try to take up all of your mental energy, and you're going to need to recall the commitment that you're making today that requires you to spend time with your wife and to actually make her feel loved and cherished. And so I told Dan to never allow his wife to be pushed into isolated compartments into the back of his mind, his heart, his life. I told him that his wife, Sarah, was to have full and absolute access to each compartment of his mind and heart and life. And then I addressed Sarah saying that, you know, you might find that Dan, he's not always respectable and he will not be perfect and you're going to face pressure to show him disrespect. And if you give in to this sort of pressure, then you will perpetrate a very significant and severe pain to your husband. And if this happens, he's going to find it hard to show you love, which will make it harder for you to show him respect. And you can enter into a vicious cycle. And the cycle, good news is, can be avoided when the commitment to one another is unconditional. So I told Sarah that she needed to unconditionally show respect to her husband, even when he's not being very respectable. And I turned to Dan and said that he needed to unconditionally love his wife, even when she's not being very lovable. Unconditional love, unconditional respect. This is the ironclad bond and commitment that the two of them made to one another today. And I went on to say that two very different people like them, they are called to not merely put up with one another, but to passionately love and serve and sacrifice for one another. And I invited them to remember that the relationship between humanity and God, it represents our greatest hopes and also our most immense fears. Marriage gives us a picture of this. And so I told Dan and Sarah, I said, the most difficult moments you're likely to face will come when you're both spent, exhausted, emotionally, physically, spiritually tired, when you're both empty and needy. Times like when little things like the dishes aren't done, or bigger things like when the bills are bigger than the paychecks. And in these moments, each of them might find that they desire that the other person would step up and be the one to serve and to sacrifice rather than they being the one to step up and serve and sacrifice. And if they give in to that temptation, then it's true for any married couple, you perpetrate a great wrong against the one whom you love. And moments like these, they test the value that we place on our relationships. You know, one sometimes wants to talk it through, but the other one in that moment wants to be alone with their thoughts, to think about it. And so tempers can flare and small wounds can be inflicted and sometimes large wounds can be inflicted. And the weariness and the busyness of life, it can cloud things to a point that sometimes we don't even know anymore what it is that we're doing to each other. And, you know, selfishness and pride, they loom large in the human heart. And because of this fact, we need to be on guard. So in moments like what I just described, it's important for us, and Dan and Sarah, as you watch this, it's again important for you to remember Christ. Remember Christ Jesus. He is the source of your strength. If you remember him, then you will understand that you have a way out, that you'll have a way out so that issues don't stay unresolved. You don't have unresolved issues that swell and come back and bite you later on. Because forgiveness is the hope for a loving marriage. And so the husband and wife need humility to admit the sins that the husband and wife will commit against one another. It's inevitable, sadly, because of selfishness and pride. And so husbands and wives need to have humility to ask for forgiveness and the humility to grant it. And I emphasize, I said, I'm telling you, Dan and Sarah. So here I am, I'm telling you. The conflicts that you leave unresolved, they will come back to bite you in the butt if you let them. So don't let that happen. The quicker that problems are humbly acknowledged and forgiven, well, the sooner healing can come and new life can continue to spring into your relationship. And so Dan and Sarah, as I said earlier today, and I'm saying now for this video, you must choose to offer forgiveness in hope and faith, despite the deep shame and emotional pain that you will have received from your spouse. And you need to do this in the same way that God forgave our sins through the sacrifice of his son. This is the way for division to become unity, for pain to become the path to intimacy, for hopelessness to lead to joy, and for anxiety and anger to resolve into peace and rest. Just as death on a cross turns to resurrection and eternal life for those who believe. Christ crucified shows just how big a price God put on his relationship with us. And your sacrifice as a married couple shows how big a price you're willing to put on your relationship with each other. And if you're willing, then your love for each other will open up heaven's floodgates and will bring to your hearts a revelation of just how massive is God's love for all of us who are his people. And that concluded the message. And then we had the symbolic parts of the ceremony where Dan and Sarah lit the unity candle, a symbolic gesture representing the combining of two lives into one. And Dan and Sarah lit the individual candles because they had blown out earlier, and then they used them to light the unity candle. And then we did the exchange of the wedding rings, so I was given the rings. And then I said something along the lines of, the engagement ring is a sublime symbol of promise, a beautiful promise being fulfilled today. The exchange of wedding rings, it's a tradition of considerable importance, being the seal of the promise represented by the engagement ring. And so today, as I looked at Dan and Sarah, the wedding rings sealing your vows become the symbol of true love and the commitment of your hearts. Small in size, magnificent in meaning. The rings symbolize your covenant promise to one another and to God. And I added, marriage is the clasping of hands and the blending of hearts, the giving and exchanging of vows, the union of two lives into one. Marriage is a spiritual commitment of the highest order before God and provides an incredible source of strength and resolve for its partners. And your vows in marriage will be tested. Remember the love that you have on your wedding day and the commitment that you make on your wedding day, because these vows before God will stand you in good stead and will strengthen you to preserve when all else seems to fail. And so then I said to Dan to take the ring and place it on Sarah's hand and to repeat after me, Sarah, I give you this ring as a symbol of all that we have promised, and with it I give my life to you. And then Sarah, place this ring on Dan's hand, repeat after me, Dan, I give you this ring as a symbol of all that we have promised, and with it I join my life with yours. And then we had the covenant promises. So Dan and Sarah, they made the covenant promises leading into the covenant vows. Again, we're stacking the vows and the promises on top of each other. So I said, Dan, with the ring now placed on Sarah's finger and your hands clasped together, repeat after me. Sarah, today I commit myself to you. With God's grace, I will love you unconditionally. I will serve you, and I will lead our family as Christ leads. I thank God for the gift that he has given to me in you, and I will sacrifice myself for you as Christ has done for his church. I will be true to you, trusting in God, as long as we both shall live. And then I turned to Sarah and I said, Sarah, with the ring placed on Dan's finger and your hands clasped together, repeat after me. Dan, today I commit myself to you. With God's grace, I will love you unconditionally. I will serve you and I will follow you as you follow Christ. I thank God for the gift that he has given to me in you, and I will submit myself to you as Christ has done for his church. I will be true to you, trusting in God, as long as we both shall live. And then I looked them both square in the eye and said, your marriage, Dan and Sarah, must stand not by the authority of the state, nor by the seal on your wedding certificate that I will sign later today, not by the good intentions of your family or by the well wishes of your friends, but by the strength of your love and the completeness of your vows and the power of your faith in each other and in Jesus Christ who lives in your hearts. And then I said, we now bring to completion this covenant-making ceremony with the exchange of the marital covenant vows, where I said, Dan, please repeat after me. With God as my witness, I, Dan, take you, Sarah, to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until we are parted by death. And then I said, Sarah, please repeat after me. With God as my witness, I, Sarah, take you, Dan, to be my husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until we are parted by death. And then, Dan and Sarah, by the authority and power invested in me by the church of our King Jesus Christ, Lord of heaven and earth, I now pronounce you husband and wife. You may kiss the bride. And so then the two of them kissed. And then we had a prayer of blessing upon Dan and Sarah, thanking God for his picture of love, asking blessing upon their entire family, their son, Gavin, and grandchildren, and their finances and careers, and everybody that they know is involved in their life. We ask an extended blessing on them and ask that their marriage would be a light to a cynical world that Christ alone saves. And of course, we added a blessing for the meal that was going to be coming up in the feast in a little bit. And we end it with this benediction. Our benediction comes from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we ended everything with a, ladies and gentlemen, friends and family, I present to you for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. Dan and Sarah Teagarden. And then they went back down the aisle, and everybody in the wedding party did the recessional, and the ceremony came to an end. The party began, and pictures were taken, and all that sort of stuff. And so I leave this here mostly for Dan and Sarah to have a memento. But I'm going to leave it here because the way we orchestrate here with the Household of Faith in Christ, the way we orchestrate a wedding ceremony is to provide a gospel picture, a picture of the bride coming to be joined to her groom. And so even if you don't know Dan and Sarah, even if you're not even married yourself, or if you've long been married and you don't really concern yourself with marriage ceremonies anymore, next time you go to a wedding, I'd like you to maybe remember what's going on there. It's a picture of Christ calling his bride to himself, a covenant-making God who makes a covenant with his people. And so the groom making a covenant with the bride and the bride responding by making a covenant joining in that covenant with the groom. The wedding ceremony is so much more than we imagine most of the time. And so, again, I'm leaving this up publicly posted for anybody who might want to watch and maybe glean a lesson about marriage. But ultimately, this is one additional gift, Dan and Sarah, for you to have some sort of a memory of what was said and why it was said in your ceremony, since you didn't have a videographer or anything else going on to capture it. So may God bless you. Thank anybody who's watched this so far so much. And Dan and Sarah, I will see you very soon, I'm sure. God bless.